Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. This is 90s Core, and I'm Lisa Monahan.
And I'm Andy Clodfelter. I thought you were going to do like a, I'm Lisa Monahan, I'm here to say.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of that rhymed with what I was saying was ho, and I was like, I don't really want to open the show by calling myself
pretty
a ho.
Strong. And then you said it anyways, but I mean, you said it out of context, so it was less bad, apparently.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Hey. This is a 90s Core. If you are listening for the first time, welcome. Where have you been all of our lives? And second of all, this show is not talking about court cases from the 90s. No, no. We take two things from the 90s that we love very much that are comparable in terms of topic, either movies, music, video games, TV, food, whatever. We discuss and discuss them, and then we just let our listeners on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter vote and tell us which one they think is the victor. So that's what we do on the show. And then we also talk about things, other things that are related to the 90s, because who doesn't love that, okay? Who loves, I love it. I love it. So that's what we do on the show. Welcome.
That's what we do. We just do that. Hey, I was going to say, when you started out with the, because sometimes I like to post, on social media or something, hey, it's not a thing about court cases from the 90s. If at this point you clicked on this episode and were like, I wonder if this is about the famous court case Mario Kart 64 versus Super Smash Brothers versus the American public, I feel sorry for you that was a real, first off, if that was a real case, that would be amazing.
It would be a really good case. The people versus Super Smash Brothers.
The people versus Super Smash Brothers. See, guess yours sounded way better. We didn't win Super Smash Bros.
We did not win.
Jigglypuff fell asleep on us and we just went flying off the screen.
We did. Oh, Jigglypuff. We'll get into that later. But first, before we even get started into our things, we wanted to give shout outs.
That was off key. Sorry.
That's perfect.
To our illustrious Patreon bailiffs, those who subscribe at the $5 level who actually got a really dope Patreon exclusive this past week. Well, subjectively dope, where we covered a Y2 court episode, which was Lost versus Mad Men. And I will note, if you've ever watched Lost and you want to hear somebody just get genuinely angry about a show, that people ever disrespect it, you can hop in there. Listen to that.
Okay. It's true. You are very much a defender of Lost.
Yes. So
I learned a lot. I learned too much about Lost, probably.
Yeah, you're just like, man, I know all this stuff about a show that I've never watched and probably never will.
It's true. And then I, of course, defended Mad Men because, oh my gosh, Mad Men. It's just an amazing show.
It is
but
a wonderful
show. I don't know how comparable they are, but they're both very, very good. Again, it's worth checking out. So, and if for some reason you don't like that one, go back and listen to Taco Bell versus, what was it, McDonald's?
McDonald's, that was a great episode. Silly Goose.
It was such a good episode. Right. Holy cow, I love that one.
Yeah, so,
but listen, we have shout-outs.
Yeah, shout-outs. Yes. So, to our bailiffs. Jason, one of our newest bailiffs, thank you so much for hopping in. We are so glad, and we love the question and answer, messages and everything like that. We always love to get input and thoughts. Nate, my man, actually just got a few text messages from Nate this weekend. Michael, again, thank you so much. We always appreciate your feedback on Facebook.
I love that website, Feedbook.
Feedbook on Facebook. Tim, my man, also talk to him frequently. And, of course, Preston. You're just the ever-present, the eternal one.
My goodness.
So, and then I'll flip it over to Lisa to get hit up.
And then we
want to
give shout-outs to our judge, our one and only Judge Varian. Thank you so much, so much. Welcome aboard. And then there are other bailiffs. Well, because I was going to give a shout-out to Vincent, and then it came out bailiff, our bailiff Vincent. Love you, dude. Jacqueline, love you, ma'am. Clarissa, kissy sounds at you. And, of course, Afton. You have my heart, my dear. We love all of our patrons so much. Yeah. Thank you guys for supporting the show. And if you have not done so and you feel like you want to kick a few dollars over to us to support the show, we're on Patreon at patreon.com/90scourt. We have a couple different topics that we go over, either Nothing Court or Y2 Court. About once a month, we release an episode over there. It's fun. We just go fucking off the rails over there, and it's enjoyable. So,
yeah. Even if you just want to hear your name mentioned on the show once a month, just kick us a dollar a month.
Or,
we'll say,
I'll give you my number. You can call me and I'll just say your name and hang up. That's also an option. That's not an option. That's a weird option.
That's a weird option. Yeah, I don't know if you want to give your number out.
I don't want to give my number out.
I did want to say, just because I realize I've never covered this in the thing, I remember that technically Afton is the ultimate OG, at least for my shows, because she was a huge fan of Mary and Andy Aren't Good at This, which was the show I did before this show, and she's
I was too.
Yeah, I know, but you're not a fan. You're a participant. You leveled up. So
I did.
So thank you, Afty Wafty.
Afty Wafty.
So we mentioned, we got some things to cover.
Yes, and I am. Wow.
Words are so hard today. I don't know what is wrong with us. Like, we have not been able to say a word correctly yet.
I'm doing the best that I can. I am. Andy, listen, just listen, okay? Today, I'm going all in on a very specific time frame of the 90s, and that's on the Disney Channel, in which every single megastar of today was launched into fame, okay? I'm talking about the cast of the Mickey Mouse Club from 1993 to 1994, okay? It was basically like a reverse black hole of talent was unleashed on the world. So, like, because I was like, I don't want to say like a star exploding, because I don't think that's what I was like, but reverse black holes, like a black hole spitting out talent.
Like, it'd be like a creation of a star, like a huge burst of energy suddenly shows up, and then there's a huge star.
And it only happened during that year on the Mickey Mouse Club, okay? The season 6 roster included a few names you might know, you might not. I don't know. Let me throw you some names out there, Andy. Tell me if they mean anything to you. Tony Luca. I don't know who that is. It doesn't matter. Christina Aguilera.
Heard of her.
No big deal. JC Chazet.
Yep.
Okay. Justin Timberlake, I guess. Britney Spears.
Britney Spears.
And Ryan Gosling.
What?
Holy crap.
Ryan Gosling.
I also left off Kerry Russell on this list, but I'll get into that later. That was on accident, but I think it was subconsciously purposeful. So there's probably a few people that are probably still relevant today, like just a few.
Sure.
You might know them from some songs as all of the songs, or perhaps Please to Smack Me Again Once More by Bartney Spears.
Bartney Spears.
Or perhaps Wizard in a Vase by Christina Aguilera.
Hey, I'm Bartney Spears.
I'm Bartney Spears.
You want to get a picture on my lap?
Oh, she doesn't talk like that anymore. Have you seen? Well, there's a whole thing about
I don't
want to
talk.
Right,
I feel bad. Yeah, I don't want to touch. I don't want to talk about her. Like, I just would hate to have my life covered like
that. No, of course. But her baby voice, it just kind of nails on a chalkboard for me. But but she does not have the creepy, upsetting Santa. Like, yeah, parolee Santa being like, come sit
parolee
on my lap.
Santa.
I don't think parolee is the word. I think I was trying to think convict, but I don't think that's right either. I should just shut up and
parolee works. I'm a fan of that.
Okay, I'll take that. So, and also perhaps with no jokes to his name or what he's ever done, how about the fucking amazing performance in Only God Forgives by Ryan Gosling? Like, Ryan Gosling was from this show. He's like, it's just too much. It was just so many people at once. It was so much. It was the best. The skits they had to do on the show were not so great because it was a Disney Channel and they were like 4. I think they were more like 10 to 12. I don't know. But they were young and Disney Channel. But there were also like, I don't know. I didn't watch Disney Channel as a kid because we were poor and we didn't have Disney. But my best friend growing up did, and holy wow,
growing
she was
up
fully
in the salt mines, just slaving away.
Yeah, just slaving away with no Disney.
Saving
Channel.
Saving up for that Disney Channel.
Never
one
did.
Day we're gonna get there.
No, there's no way I could have convinced my mom to give me like a $14 a month subscription to a single channel. Fuck you, Disney.
That's like, yeah, I didn't even realize
here.
It cost that much. I will say this.
It probably didn't, but it was enough.
Ryan Gosling, isn't he the one that they try and make eat cereal on the internet?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Ryan
that's
Gosling
like my main thing, and I'm like, yes, this is good.
Please tell me that's not the only thing you know Ryan Gosling.
No, it's the
for.
Only one. That was the start of his career, as I understand.
Shut up. That's amazing. Listen, they also, some of the skits, I watched as many skits as I could stomach, I should say. They did, like, it was a lot of performances because they knew they could all sing. Even Ryan Gosling could sing, which blows my mind, which is like, that's not fair that much talent and physical attractiveness belongs in one person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Suck to think that, like, your one best skill that you have in life, like, there are a lot of people that have that, and it's not even their number one skill by a mile.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like, so you can sing too, on top of being like an incredible actor, genuinely a nice person, upsettingly attractive. Like, that's not fair. I don't know. There's got to be a female that's the equivalent of Gosling. Probably Amy Adams. I love her. Listen, okay. But they were doing like Boys to Men covers because they did a lot of singing because they were like, you guys know you can sing. So they would do like, it was weird watching like 11-year-old J.C. Chazé. I think J.C. Chazé was older, but like Justin Timberlake, who looked like a tiny shrimp boy with ramen hair already. And then like Britney Spears singing like Boys to Men and like writhing. It's like, this is not right. I just wanted to watch something when I got home from school. But they also did like poorly acted skits about asking each other out. But it was just excessively weird to see all these extremely talented people, not Carrie Russell, on the stage at the same time. Carrie Russell was a musketeer during the season. I hate Carrie Russell. And I actually dislike her so much, I didn't realize it, but I dislike her so much that I thought about changing this entire segment into why I don't like Carrie Russell.
So while everybody else was a musketeer, she just was sitting there with a musket in the front lines of a battle.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. They had her with like a tin can, like begging for change in every skit. They were like, you are trash. Take your crappy hair and your whole self and just sit somewhere else, Carrie Russell. I just don't like
I was
Carrie
referencing
Russell.
The fact that you called her a musketeer, but okay.
Musketeer. Did I say musketeer?
You did say musketeer, which, I mean, it's easy to make a mistake. That's what they're playing off of course.
Well, I don't like Carrie Russell.
You've made that 100% clear. Nobody clear. Will leave this episode and be like, you know what I think? Lisa loves Carrie Russell.
I would love to get like an onslaught of Christmas presents that are just pictures of Carrie Russell's face on t-shirts and be like, because I don't Carrie Russell. But she was on the show at the same time, super afterthought, because there was Justin Timberlake, J.C. Chazé, Ryan Gosling, Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears on there at the same time. Like a powerhouse. It was just wild to see them. It's just weird to see them all on the screen at the same time and be like, that's not fair to the rest of the children everywhere who have no talent compared to them. But the Mickey Mouse Club, 93-94. Okay. I would not recommend going back and watching it unless you just want to watch like Ryan Gosling and be like, why are you dancing also? Why are you not already in Drive? What's happening here? Go, go. Shoo, shoo. Go. So that's my thing. Mickey Mouse Club. What's your thing?
All right. Thank you. Oh, man. I just really did I've been kind of hinting at my thing this whole time. And it was just kind of like I told Lisa before the episode. It's like, this thing's just all Mario because I just kept making like Mario references and voices and stuff the whole time. And there's a reason for that. So we're doing video games is our main thing, which we only I will say this. We do it about I realized the last video game episode we did was 17 episodes ago. And so I was like, we need to fucking which I know that's like it's crazy. It didn't feel like it was that long ago. But like, you know, we just all of a sudden look and I'm like, OK, music or that. And I'm like, OK, we did music 7 episodes ago. And video game 17? So, I decided to cover, for the first time ever, a film. Or maybe not the first time ever, but one of the first times I'm going to cover a film as one of my things.
Okay. A film.
A film.
Color me curious.
You're just like, what does that have to do with Mario? Well.
Oh, no.
Since we're talking about Nintendo classics, let's talk about a Nintendo-based non-classic. The Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh my gosh, Andy, thank you so much. Thank you.
I literally was thinking, like, I think we've covered this before, but I realized, no, like, there was an episode on Black Case Diaries where they covered, like, video game-based movies, and of course, mentioned this as being just awful. So I was I was trying to remember, and I thought, okay, that's what I remember hearing about it from. So let's give a quick synopsis of this film, and then I'm going to tell you my thoughts on it. Brooklyn plumbers Mario and Luigi get the shock of their lives when they discover a parallel world populated by the intelligent descendants of dinosaurs. It seems they weren't destroyed by a meteor millions of years ago, but hurled into another dimension, and now they have plans to rule our world. It's up to our unlikely heroes to battle the evil King Koopa and his Goomba guards, free the beautiful Princess Daisy, and save mankind in this adventure of a lifetime. I will ask you this, like, wasn't it, like, Princess Toadstool or Princess Peach the entire time before this? Like, I know Daisy came into, like, later games as well, but I didn't remember Daisy being a real important character before this.
I think I'm with you on that one. Yeah. I honestly couldn't tell you. I'm not the most brushed up on my Mario history, but I'm with you.
Okay. So basically, the makers of this film, I'm pretty sure, either didn't ever play a Mario game in their life or didn't care. Because
yeah.
aside yeah. from, hey, there are two plumbers, a princess, and some bad guys from Mario, it was basically nothing like the game.
Yeah.
Not to mention, of all things, so the Goombas are like a very prevalent character in this, which is good because that's, you know, normal in the game. Mm-hmm. But they did, basically, they're giant dudes with huge bodies and super yep. tiny shrunk heads. Mm-hmm. Like, so tiny. Now,
tiny little weird lizard heads.
Now, you'd be like, wow, that's cute. But you would probably think, like, wait a minute. Aren't Goombas literally the exact opposite of that thing that they're doing in the movie? Like,
oh my gosh, they are.
They are huge right. heads and tiny little legs or whatever. So I don't... I know it's hard to make that in a movie, but I'm just like, you swung and missed on the Goombas and there was no reason for it.
Yeah.
I definitely watched this movie, and even as someone who wanted it to be good, it just wasn't. So
it really wasn't.
Basically,
it
the wasn't. People who directed this movie, apparently the two people that were directing it, which is crazy that there's two people directing a movie, were husband and wife. And so, okay. like... So actors and stuff talk about the fact that they were just like disputing and like couldn't agree on anything because they were control freaks like the entire time. And so they decided like, hey, kids love this game. So let's make a movie that's super dark and dreary to completely cancel out our target audience.
Yes, exactly. It really was. It was not anything like what the game was at all.
So real quick, budget. $42 to $48 million. Box office 20.9.
Oh no.
So bad.
Oh no. I thought it was bigger than that. That's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, I think I watched it after it was out. Like, I don't think I would have paid money to go see that.
Yeah.
Few characters. Bob Hoskins played Mario. Mm-hmm. Johnny Legs played Luigi Mario. Legs. That's your boy.
Boy.
Dennis Hopper played President Koopa. Now, I will say President Koopa. Why was that a thing? But here we are. And Samantha Mathis played Princess Daisy. I'm not going to mention the rest of the cast, but it was, you know, a pretty decent cast. But here's a little bit of trivia that I read up, and it's actually pretty revealing as well.
Okay.
It's kind of like, we covered a movie recently that had very similar things to this. Oh, it was the Whoopi Goldberg one that I covered as a thing.
Oh,
recently.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Theodore Rex.
Yes.
So Bob Hoskins didn't know that the film he was making was based on a game until his son asked him what he was working on. When Hoskins mentioned the film's title, his son immediately recognized it and showed Hoskins the game on his own Nintendo. I can't imagine. I mean, I guess there's no internet or anything like that, but it's just like, that's so whack and weird to just never have heard of Mario.
That's insane.
Yeah. In his 2007 autobiography, John Leguizamo, yes. states that he and Bob Hoskins hated working on the film and would frequently get drunk to make it through the experience.
I feel like it showed.
Both men apparently knew the movie would turn out bad, so they simply tried to make the best of it. He also
That's a solid strat, man.
He also stated he felt one of the biggest okay, this is kind of what I said earlier, was the biggest reasons the movie turned out the way it did was because the directors wanted a more adult movie, while the studio, considering the source material, was looking for a children's film. So they were trying to make like a really dark, like edgy movie or whatever, and the studio was like, no, what the fuck are you doing? Stop.
Can we just put an hour and 40 minutes of someone playing the video game on there? I think that would make more money than whatever you guys are doing.
Would have been better, yeah. Wow. So after the film bombed in the box office, Nintendo never produced another live-action movie of their video game franchise. It's funny that they say never. Sonic's not them. That's
Sega. Thank you. Just kidding. Erase that from your memory.
But then immediately the next sentence, this was in their trivia, never released another one ever. And then it says it would not allow another film to be made until 2019. So I'm like, okay, so they did have another movie when they released Detective Pikachu.
Ugh.
Which, I'll tell you what, I thought Detective Pikachu was fine.
Oh boy, I
didn't
seen
mind
it.
The movie.
It was
pretty good. It was pretty good. I disagree with you. I'll fight you on that. I know I won't. I don't care. I'll say this. I don't care enough about Detective Pikachu to fight you on it. But
that's fair. I'm too tired for that anyway.
I would give it a chance. I would say just give it a chance.
Okay.
So anyways, That's Super Mario Brothers the movie. I'm sure there was a lot more I could touch on, but it was just like
it's just so weird.
It's just the general idea.
It really didn't make sense. Because I mean, the I think the casting was good. I thought that Mario and Luigi were well cast, and it was, I mean, they were fun to watch. But like, you're right, it was a swing and a miss on both fronts. If you were trying to make a dark, edgy film, it was just weird. And then if you were trying to make one that was based on the video game, you absolutely did not do that. If you like you said, a child of someone working on the movie didn't even like that person had to clue that person in, like, hey, this is about a video game, and you're like, excuse me? So bad. I had no idea it was that much of a shit show. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Frank Welker played the part that did the voices of both Yoshi and Goombas.
Very cool.
Good for you, Frank
so
Welker.
So cool.
So anyways, Mario.
That's it. Well, all right. Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you so much. Before we go to break, I wanted to make a little note. We have something here we just wanted to say. As we mentioned before, word of mouth is the best way to get people to listen to the show. If you wouldn't mind, before we go to our court case, maybe just thinking while we're just thinking to yourself, like, hey, maybe I know someone that might like this show, like 90s Court Rules. You should give it a listen sometimes. Just tell someone. Maybe send it to someone over DMs, over Instagram or Twitter or something like that.
Slide to their DMs with the podcast.
Slide, be like, hey, is this a dick pic? No, ma'am. This is a podcast.
Yeah. They'll be so delighted to not find a dick pic that they will listen. but genuinely, it's like, even if like, because here's the thing. I know for a fact from my history is I always like give like a quick, like, oh, I love this podcast. I don't even recommend it most of the time because I'm like, they're probably not going to listen. Like, just because your time is so valuable, it's hard to get somebody to listen to a brand new thing when they're like, okay, no, I like these things and that's it. But usually, like, if you give a recommendation, enough people, like, there's probably some people that actually respect your opinion.
Yeah.
And even if, like, two people total listen to it out of, like, you know, 50 people recommendations given, that would be huge. So
that would be awesome. So, yeah, just make a vow this week. No dick pics, only podcast recs. We would be happy to be one of those podcast recs for you this week.
So every time you were thinking about sending a dick pic, instead.
You're sitting alone at yourself, like, socially distanced office desk. You're like, no. Do not send Cindy this dick pic. You know what I think Cindy would like before her meeting is perhaps maybe a recommendation for
just
a
send
podcast.
Send a Spotify link of Crystal Pepsi versus Surge.
Just do it. That was such a good episode. Go back. Listen to it. So anyway, that's our thing. We are going to take a quick break, give you a quick ad, and then we're going to come back with poll results from last week and then get straight down to the dirty business with the court case. So
here we go.
Okay. All right. Adios.
Welcome back, friends.
Oh, hi.
We know you've been gone a while, and we just want to say thank you for sticking around after the break.
Yes.
Thank you for probably hitting the move forward 30 seconds button twice through the advertisements.
Yes.
We don't encourage that, wink, wink, but we appreciate you sticking around for the next portion of the episode. In fact, you might have pushed the 30-second thing twice, and you might have missed my intro. So anyways, we're back.
Bad.
I hope you should feel bad about yourself for not listening to the advertisement.
You should go back.
Go back and listen. It's so good. I'm sure you've never heard it before. Lisa, why don't you tell us about how last week went, huh?
Last week was pretty good. We had Office Space versus Clueless, which I think was actually a pretty solid matchup. Even though the two movies weren't super similar, they were both a good matchup because it made people hurt and think hard about what they wanted to pick. So Facebook gave the trophy to Office Space, 60% to 40%. Twitter gave it almost the same, 58.5% to 41.5% to Office
Space. You
like
my half percentage? Does that still drive you nuts time I do it?
No. I think it's, trust me, as
especially
a math
with
beam,
the half percent, especially the half percent, that's like, you bet you might as well include that because it's a big note. So
Yeah. And then Instagram gave it a 53-47 split to Clueless.
Clueless won.
So Clueless won on Instagram. Very interesting. But overall, the victor was Office Space. There you go. Take that.
And I'll tell you what, I proclaimed on the episode that I thought Clueless was going to win, and apparently I was just wrong. So
I kind of had an inkling that Office Space was going to take it. It appealed to more people.
Yeah,
I think.
Like I said, I think it's one of those things where, like, because, like, just at least kids, like younger boys, were not watching Clueless. Like, nobody watches them, but like, I at least, like, it was not cool, at least for me, when I was in grade school and stuff, to watch a movie like that, like, where there's a lot of pink in and stuff like that. However, Office Space, whenever I got a little bit older, I was like, hell yeah, this.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sad. I cannot believe I went that entire court case and didn't introduce the one thing from Clueless that was the most iconic thing to me. Ooh. I'm so sad. Was her fluffy, fuzzy pin. Fuzzy pins were a massive thing after Clueless. I cannot believe I'm just now remembering that a full 7 days later. Oh my gosh. The fuzzy pin, guys.
It is funny that that's supposed to be like a sign of like, man, look how fancy she is. But it's like, how much does it cost to put a fuzzy thing on a pen? It's like, so they just were like, we can do this for like 10 cents.
There was one shop in my hometown that sold them, and I never got to go. Like, I got like one, and it was the best. But it was like $5 for a pen. It's like, this is whack.
Yeah, I know this is kind of bringing up a thing that we might cover in the future, but like, I was thinking literally this week about this very similar topic to that, was just eraser covers on pencils in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was an eraser cover and it was another eraser, cool. But like, it blew my mind. Even as a kid, when I would put a pencil, like a cover on my eraser or whatever, like with a cool figure or whatever, and it's just a plastic figurine, and I'm like, this is just an inconvenience. Like, it's harder to write with it on, and it's you can't erase with it on. So, but that was very popular back then, which is still weird to me.
Yep. But that's Clueless versus Office Space. Office Space took the cake. And I think, I think it just probably appealed to more people after the fact, right? So I think most people looking back would be like, Clueless. But then as adults, you're like, nah, it's Office Space.
Yeah.
So that's fair.
So, hey, gang. So, we're going to be covering some Vidya games this week. So bust out your big, long, long corded controllers that are shaped in such a way that no human being can fully master them unless you have three hands. Flip the on switch, get your buds together, because it's court time. And something just came across my desk. Ba-da-bum-ba-dum.
So good. Guys,
I'll tell you what, my decision in the early episodes to do that ba-da-bum-ba-dum thing like seemed a lot cooler at the time, and now every time I do it, I'm just like, I hate this.
We could also retire it, man. They know what's coming, and if they don't, guess what? Who cares? But man, you do you. You do you.
Yeah.
Self-killer.
Okay.
Bartney Spares. Listen.
Bartney Spares.
Bartney Spares. Mario Kart 64 versus Super Smash Brothers. I'm into it.
That is, in fact, the court case, and Lisa went first in the thing, so you know what that means.
All Andy
it's
time.
Me. It's a me, Mario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Welcome to Mario Kart.
Is that what it says?
Select your player. Yes. That is the opening thing every time. You've played Mario Kart 64. Get over yourself.
No, not 64. Here's the sad thing, Andy. I played the shit out of like Super Smash Brothers Melee. Mm-hmm. Whichever one started with GameCube.
Yeah.
GameCube. Yeah, I was all GameCube. So when I took this, I was like, oh, for sure I can take this. And I was like, bitch, you never even touched this game on the N64, poser ass bitch. But I
listen, I want you to know that I didn't say it, you did.
I'm cool with owning up to it, but I can still represent.
Especially as someone who swears by N64 like it was their fucking lifeblood.
It was, again, Andy, it was the courtyard of Super Mario 64. That's all I did for like 3 years.
You played Apartment only on the N64.
I played Apartment. That's exactly right. I'm so embarrassed that everybody knows my secret. But yeah, I just played Apartment in Super Mario 64. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will say in this episode, and it's a little trivia thing. I didn't put in my notes because I didn't think it was important enough. There is an episode where if you go off-road for a little bit, you can drive by the castle from Super Mario 64.
Okay. Oh, interesting. That's not a huge thing,
but it's just a little fun little nugget that they just snuck it in there for funsies. Mm-hmm. So, ladies and gentlemen, so let's say you liked Super Mario Kart, okay? You and your one friend just sitting together, completing some basic ass tracks, and having one-on-one combats. Sounds fun, right?
Yes.
Do you like racing in straight lines on flat tracks with very little skill involved to be better at the game?
I do.
Hmm. Well, guess what, motherfuckers? The N64 decided, fuck all that noise. We're about to change the fucking game.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Mario 64, and I'll mention it later, is, like, weirdly, in retrospect, I think it's crazy that it was, like, had mixed reviews. Because I guess they're like, hey, they could have done more. They should have done different stuff or something like that. But I'm just like...
Mario 64? Mario Kart
64. Yeah.
Okay.
If I ever say Mario 64, know that I mean Mario Kart 64.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. So, Mario Kart 64. Boom. Released December 1996 in Japan, February 1997 in the United States, and June 1997 in the UK. Hello. That's too bad you guys had to wait so much longer for the game. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
So
we're
what?
Patient. We as a nation are known for patience.
We're big baby boys. Yeah. So yeah. We are like, we'll wait 2 months and that's it. So what made this game different from its predecessor? I've got a few different. I have a list on here.
Okay.
First off, graphics are better. Like hands down, insanely better. There's no like just crazy better. From the jump from the first one to this one, it's crazy.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two. The game is 3D, not 2D, which you might be thinking, okay, cool, so their fake red and blue carts have depth to them. No. The way that this changed the fucking game was in how you could design levels. So, the game makers could design levels, because in the original one, it was just like, here's a flat-ass map with, like, little, like, cubes on the walls to keep you from jumping off the cliff. Sometimes you jump off a cliff. And if there was a ramp, it was a flat ramp that you just... It just had to make like a little yellow thing to make it clear that you were jumping a ramp.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, this went from a like straightforward left and right game to now up and down, straight left and right, like just so many different dimensions now to a game that we were not used to prior to that. So huge, huge change, because the maps became so much more detailed. Like if you went off road, there would be like, you know, very like 3D cacti and stuff like that. Like you could put so much more in the game because it was a three dimensional game, which I think is something we take for granted a lot now, is the difference between 2D and 3D is what different things you can add in. So like I said, they built in blocks or hazards on the track besides just an errant 2D banana. And most importantly, have a high
2D bananas.
Yeah. Well, they do. Well, they got 3D ones on this one, so...
Yeah, that's better.
So, and lastly, I originally said this is just having this in general, but I was like, no, they had that on the original one. This one was better. So, most importantly, having a quality, high quality behind your player view. So, I know they did that in the player view in the original one as well, but man, can you navigate and see a lot more in N64. Depth perception was a struggle bus on the SNES by a mile, so... So there's just a few things about the 3D, 2D. Oh, hey, Lisa.
Oh, yeah?
Did you ever go to arcades when you were a kid?
I did.
Like, when you were really young before these game systems came out, like, what was one cool thing about arcades? Although, I know you always say that you don't have friends, so, like...
Oh, I had, like, cousins, okay? I had cousins. They were built-in friends. My favorite thing was Cruising USA.
Okay. So that's a single-player game. Not useful for this conversation, but...
No, not at all. I'm glad I could help.
Thanks for playing.
I'm so good at this.
You know how you go there and play with three of your other buds on a lot of games there?
Oh, for sure. I know exactly
like fucking
the sentiment.
Ninja Turtles or fucking X-Men or fucking, like, so many different games.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is so fucking dope because I can't do this anywhere else. Guess what, motherfucker? That shit isn't just in the arcade anymore. Now, I mean, that's more of an N64 upgrade than a SNES game, but, like, it was such a huge... it is such a huge difference.
Yeah,
the multiplayer facet of having four players at the same time is so hugely wild. It was one of the first and most lasting party games to get your friends together en masse and play. Whether it's racing or trying to blast off your friend's balloons in an absolutely epic showdown as the last two players left and you've knocked your first two friends out and you guys, the last two players, are just having this epic struggle with each person having one balloon left. Number four, incredibly memorable and beautiful levels. Incredible and memorable lines from characters in different situations.
Okay.
And like, here's examples. So, oh, did you just pass someone? There's a line. Oh, did you fall from a great distance? There's a line. Did you just use a mushroom or hit a boost? Gotcha there too. So like for a lot of different situations, they had different sounds for each situation for each character.
Damn.
And of course, new secret tricks that were super difficult to achieve, but when you did, it was legendary. And I'll cover a little bit more on that in a little bit.
Okay.
Like I've mentioned yet, in spite of all of this, there were mixed reviews from critics saying it wasn't much of an improvement on its predecessor, Super Mario Kart.
Really?
Like, what? Like, I mean, I get the fact that, like, Super Mario Kart was so groundbreaking at the time, like, for its ability and everything like that. But, I mean, that was, like, because it was, like, one of the first games, you know, to do that, like, ever. Like, with that. So, but it's just, like, I don't know what they wanted. Do they want, like, 10 more characters or 10 new weapons or some hidden dicks in the background? I don't know. Like, I don't know what they were.
I do. Thank you.
Think it was the dick thing? Okay.
It was the dick thing.
It was the dick
thing
for sure. Okay.
So, a lot of dicks in this episode.
It was really weird that 50% of the, like, a lot of the critics were like, could have used more dicks. I don't know what to tell you.
Guys.
Just, we're going to need more dicks. Like, just hide one on the fucking castle in the background.
Fucking Little Mermaid it.
Yeah, Little Mermaid that shit.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. It is likely, though, that the people who were reviewing it at the time could not have possibly predicted the insane replay value of this game. Because it's not like, because it's similar to like, because the multiplayer game just wasn't really a huge thing like it was, it is now, you know, because having the four player and everything like that makes it such a big game changer. So you can grab three friends, tell them all I could tell three friends, hey, I've got an N64 in Mario Kart, and they would drop everything and come over to play instantly. And we would do so for hours.
Yes.
Sure. There are newer ones, but this one is just,
So you would think that you would go back to this one if given the opportunity over some of the newer ones?
Honestly, I think it's because like Double Dash for GameCube, I'm like, it's just like one extra element that I'm like, I don't need this. Like, I don't need this in the game.
That's fair.
Just like extra elements they start adding that I'm just like, I just don't really get it. I've played some of the other ones and they're fine, but like the N64 one is just like they nailed it and they crushed it and they just, you know, pretty much everything
That's
else
fair.
Like that was just a slight improvement. So the racers.
Okay.
You got Mario. You got Luigi. You got Peach. You got Toad. You got Yoshi. You got DK. You got Bowser. And the new racer, unlike from the SNES, they replaced one racer, which was Wario, was in this game.
Ooh.
Wario. I will say some of my friends from Toys R Us originally, and now they're on Legends and Libations. Rick does an amazing Wario, and he does some French stuff very frequently. And so I just wanted to shout him out on the off chance he listens to this.
Nice.
Which the only bummer about that was that Koopa Troopa was my favorite on the NES, on the SNES. I don't know why, but just Koopa Troopa and Yoshi were always my favorite, and so I switched to Yoshi in this game. I like the faster guys that can get off the block a lot faster, even if they're a little bit smaller and more petite.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I was always a Bowser girl. Always.
See, I hear people who swear by Bowser. I'm just like, I can't. Like, when the race starts and it's just like watching just like a boulder slowly roll until it can get up ahead of steam.
Man, you're a grower, not a shower, baby. You're not trying to come out the gate swinging. Lisa. You're just trying to, like, you got to get the momentum. Once you get the momentum going,
you're a grower,
you're like,
not a shower, baby.
Yeah. You're a girl, not a shower, baby. You're Bowser. It's okay.
You're Bowser, and it's okay.
And when you hit someone,
listen, we
you're
get
going
it.
To cause catastrophic damage to their spinal cord. It's
yes.
perfect.
I do actually cover that in a few minutes, just a little bit here, too.
Oh, okay.
So, there's different things that are very memorable about the game that I just wanted to note here as well. So, timing your start in a race or battle by pressing A at the perfect time. Usually, it'd be like just before, it could be like 1, 2, 3, and it would go. And so you have to just time it perfectly. And all of a sudden you get a jet boost, like you just get a turbo boost right off the bat, which then rockets you forward. The most notable benefit of this, which is where there is a battle map where all four, let me see, what is that level? What's the level's name? Block Fort in the battle map where whoever the fuck Bowser is, their number one goal is, like, to get that boost and drill the person that's directly in front of them. Like, that is, because if you do, they lose a balloon instantly. So, that's one of the most common ones. But I guess you didn't play this game as much, so.
I don't think I ever played it on the N64, but I did play the shit out of Mario Kart in college. R.I.P. my GPA.
R.I.P. Okay, so, one of the big things, too, blue shells, boom, brought that. It was introduced in the game. They're technically not even called blue shells, but it's such a popularly referenced thing. I don't remember there was a period of time when there were blue shell memes like nonstop. I'm sure there's probably still some, but where like it's just something and then like a blue shell shows up and destroys everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's so cool because it's the ultimate fuck you in a game. Like, listen, I'm in last place. I have been laughed by people. I am losing so bad. But guess what, motherfucker? I'm going to make your life very unpleasant, despite the fact that I have no chance of winning this race. Drifting. Okay, so drifting was... I literally even played. I played on SNES Classic a few months ago. And was like, man, I didn't realize you couldn't drift in this version, you know, because basically what it is you hold down the R button as you're taking a curve, or even if you're just driving straight, you can do it anytime. You hold the R button and then you go, you take your joystick and go back, forth, back, forth, back, back, forth. And then you just,
oh my gosh,
I can't say words. I'm sorry. Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. And it literally like you see your smoke behind you change like yellow to orange to red. And then boom, you get a boost. And so that's why it suddenly added this whole new strategy to the game versus just SNES. It's just like, hopefully you can turn good.
Like, hopefully.
That's the end of it. Like, just hopefully you can turn good and maybe you get some good items. But this one, it made it like, because people who can drift and do that, like the boost thing, like so many times during a thing, just have a distinct advantage over people who can't. So I love that, is just having that as an aspect as well. Shortcuts slash jumps. So,
okay.
According to a website, it looked like they have roughly 14 different places in the game where you can jump over something. Use a star to go through a train or fly off into the abyss, and somehow you either are further ahead on the course or the game thinks you just completed another lap. So it'll like all of a sudden you're like lap two, like you just did a thing and it skipped you straight ahead to the next lap. I didn't do like any of those except for one.
Okay.
The number one glory play that fucking everybody tried was on fucking Rainbow Road, which I will say, I think Rainbow Road's Rainbow pretty much Road. A through line in like all of the games. It's always like the last map on the hardest class or whatever, on Star or whatever. So in that part, I think part of it was because usually it's the last race. You're like, I have to win this. And so you go for a fucking glory play. And it's also because right when you start the race, it's like almost immediately, like right when you start, you go forward just a little bit, and then you, just from seeing other people do it, have to go at a certain angle, jump at the perfect time, and then you watch your racer just float into the abyss, watch them approaching this road down below you, and the problem is even if you hit the road, sometimes you'll just bounce and go back off the road, and then you're brought back to the top, and you're totally fucked because you just lost so much position by doing that.
So cool.
But the 10% maybe of the times that you hit that, oh, man, is it fucking righteous. Because you're basically a full, like, three-quarters of a lap ahead of them. Like, so you're just hugely advantaged. And Rainbow Road's a long race, so.
Yeah.
But that was one that I would do it all the time, even when I didn't need it to win. I just loved doing it because it was fun. It was a thing you tried and just to see if you could nail it.
That's fair.
Multiplayer levels, as I mentioned, there were four levels. Big Donut, which had a big lava pit in the middle. Block Fort, which was the number one level in my opinion.
Okay.
Double Deck, which is a fine level, but got a bit confusing for me just with multiple tiers and stuff. And okay. Skyscraper definitely had some intensity on this level because very easy to fall in a lot of different ways as well.
Yeah.
So newly added items in the game from the original. Triple Mushroom. Most of these are just triples, to be honest. So Triple Mushroom. So rather than just one mushroom, you can get three. Super Mushroom, which is a golden mushroom that allows you to just keep bursting over and over and over again for a certain time limit. A fake item box, which, you know, is basically just a shitty banana or a slightly better banana. Banana Bunch, which I loved that because then all of a sudden you have this little tail of like baby bananas behind you that you can kind of drop off one at a time or clothesline people with. Triple green shells, triple red shells, and of course, as I mentioned before, the blue shell.
Run me through the blue shell. That one's the one that...
Blue shell is a heat-seeking missile that goes after the first place person.
I love it.
So, like, it just goes flying over there. Like, you can hear it as the first place pair, and you're like, oh, fuck. And it'll show that. And it's just, like, sometimes it's inescapable. Sometimes you can get it to run into a wall or hit somebody else or something like that. But it's usually you're just, I might have to take the hit and hopefully I can catch back up.
Yeah.
So in listening and kind of going through some different videos of this, all of the voices and sounds that the racers would make just brought me back so much because, like I said, like the intro, like I hadn't heard that in so long. I'm like, oh yeah, that is the thing that I have turned on the game and heard so many times. Welcome to Mario Kart.
Obviously.
And then you click the button, it's like, select your player. And let me see. Mario and Luigi's. Here we go. Toads. Oh, bo, 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 bo. Wario's. Wah.
I do love Wario.
Now, I will say this. I do want everybody to get a taste of all of us. So I will tell you, there is like about a 2-minute clip on YouTube that is literally just everyone's sounds that they make in the game in direct, like it'd be all the Bowsers, all the Donkey Kongs, all the Marios, etc. I do want you guys to get a taste of that, so we are going to go ahead and put that at the very end of the episode, like even after the closing music. So stick around for that.
Stick around for all of that.
Otherwise, listen, Mario Kart 64, chef kiss, I don't know what to tell you. It's a fucking dope game.
All of them are good versions of that game. It's just a good game.
It's a good game. Like I said, it just, I mean, like I said, the first one is fine. I didn't mind it, but it's just, I guess the OG was the groundbreaker, and this one was just the first time that they really amped up the game. So, anyways,
boy, did they.
Mario Kart 64, the end.
The end. Well, listen, I am taking you to a whole new world of Super Smash Brothers. They were really proud of themselves here. Really proud.
Is that the intro to the game on N64? Really?
Yes. Super Smash.
I will say this. I've played it a good amount of times, but like, I've definitely played it. SSBM is my favorite game of all. Like, Super Smash Bros. Melee for GameCube. That's just the perfection, but I still love this game a lot too.
I see. Well, it is a good one. It came out in January of 99 on the N64. It seems kind of late, but I don't know.
That's probably why SSBM was like the one I played so much, because it wasn't even out that long before the new one came out. So
BM was which one?
It's just Super Smash Brothers, and then you just add the letter at the end. So Melee is the GameCube version.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So it's a crossover fighting video game. Released on the N64, like I said, it's a crossover in that it included characters from multiple franchises. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get like Mario, you get Legends of Zelda, Star Fox, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Metroid, F-Zero. I don't know what F-Zero is.
Captain Falcon. I never played F-Zero, but Captain Falcon is such a good character in Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and then Mother.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Mother? Question mark? I wrote mother. I wrote that wrong. Maybe my text rechanged that.
Yeah, they were like, I think what you meant was this, and you're like, no, fam. But
well, shit, okay. What did I write? Well, who cares? Mother, and of course Pokemon and Kirby as well. Yes. So, no, I wrote mother. It's right. What the hell is a video game series that consists of three role playing video games: Mother, Mother 2, and Earthbound. What the fuck are
Earthbound.
You talking
about? Yes, Earthbound. That's Ness.
I guess.
No, it's, I mean, Ness is from Earthbound. I don't know what to tell you. Like, Ness, I just never heard
I
of.
I guess no.
I never
yeah,
heard
I
of didn't. Mother, but Ness is Earthbound's a super popular game.
Well, someone who knows anything about what they're talking about was just listening to us being like, "You guys are morons," especially Lisa. It's like, "You're right. I am." Thank you for noticing
like,
that about me.
They're like, Andy is so close to knowing what he's talking about, but just a little bit off, and Lisa is just not even in the fucking ballpark.
Not even there. I'm doing the best that I can. Again, I am not doing so great. Listen, I would say almost everybody who is listening to the show, if you're already listening to 90s Court, you probably know this game. You played it and you know how dope it is. This game was the best. It's like, it's one of the most ultimate party games, right up there with Mario Kart, if not better, in that you can have up to 4 players at once and just go fucking buck wild on each other, okay? If somehow you are not aware of what this game is like, essentially you are up against a computer or your friends, if you have more than one there. And it's like, I don't know if you want to call it King of the Hill style, but like, it's kind of like that in that you just, it's a fighting game and you work to beat the hell out of your opponents and then knock them off the level into the stratosphere of shame. Okay.
Stratosphere of shame.
Yes, because I mean, and it's brutal too. You don't just like knock someone off the side; they like explode. There's light dust. At least I think there was on the eldest one, but on all the ones I played, yeah, for sure. But you would just get knocked off and just explode off screen, and then your stupid body would come back a certain number of times, and then it'd be like, "Well, let's do this again, loser." And you just keep smashing them off, and it's just the best. And like they had items that you could use, like barrels and pokeballs and swords,
and that was such a game changer, really, like compared to other fighting games. Like that is what made it so dope, was having the items in there too.
It's true, items make a big, and I use, when I play Smash Brothers, I play it with my kids on the Switch, and I kick their asses. I chuck pokeballs, I do the hammer, I do everything, and they hate it so much. And I always play as Donkey Kong these days, which I call Danky Kang, to Danky Kang. And my kids would start screaming, "I hate you, Danky Kang!" And it's a very memorable moment to play. But the cruel beauty of this game is getting to learn some of the special moves for a particular character and then using them relentlessly to own your best friend over and over again, who is now not your best friend anymore. It's just, can you imagine how many friendships, marriages were ruined from Super Smash Brothers?
I mean, especially from, I mean, like, there's just certain characters that, like, I've just always hated because they just spam stuff. Like, that's, like, their number one thing is to just spam the same move over and over again. Guilty as charged. Donkey Kong, which is a funny character because sometimes people will just grab you and then just jump off the cliff with you and kill you.
It's so mean. It's so good. But in the later versions, I was always Meta Knight, which I heard at some point someone being like, "That's the big cheap out character." It's just like, whatever, Dad, I still won. Like, it's, you're an asshole.
It is funny to say, I can tell you, jealous. I haven't played a single Smash Brothers game since Melee, so I don't know anything else beyond that.
I'm pretty sure Meta Knight was in Melee. I could be totally wrong, but you are. Awesome. I love being wrong. It's my favorite. Listen, like I said, I didn't play the N64 when I came in on the GameCube, but I'm going to pay homage to the OG one a little bit, okay? So the starter lineup that you got with the game were Mario, Donkey Kong, Link, Samus, which I always want to call Seamus, but it's Samus, Yoshi, Kirby.
Seamus.
I know. There's a lot to unpack. Yes. Seamus. Like, I thought Seamus is like a proper Irish name. I could be totally wrong.
No, sure it is.
Irish, Scottish, I'm not all here right now. Fox and Pikachu. Pikachu was a solid character to add in, but I guess 99 you would have to, right? Mm-hmm. And then for your unlockables, you got Luigi, Ness from Mother, I guess, Captain Falcon, and Jigglypuff.
See, here's the thing. Like, I don't think I ever played as Mario or Luigi, like, ever.
No.
The most boring, dumb character. I'm sorry to anybody that used them as their main, because I know, like, we have a pretty good amount of gamers on here that probably swear by certain characters.
Right.
I will say this. I was not as much of a Jigglypuff player on this one because Jigglypuff was bad on this one.
Okay.
But just the addition of a couple things in the Super Smash Bros. Melee is the reason that Jigglypuff is one of my favorite characters on Super Smash Bros. Melee. Continue.
I can annihilate most people with Pikachu unless that person is playing with Kirby, and then I will lose no matter what. Unless, and I mean, Kirby, my husband, who just sucks me up, and I'm just like, I fucking hate you. It just, because I'll just be playing, I'm like, I'm doing so great, and then I'll just get sucked up by Kirby.
Up thing doesn't really, like, benefit you. Like, the moves that you do as them, like, aside from Captain Falcon, like, Falcon Punch, is not super beneficial, but the slab of meat is what we always called his down B move, which is hilarious.
The slab of meat,
which is just, he goes, and just crashes to the ground and like is untouchable for a little bit while he's down. And that's, you remember, he smashes down into, you played,
I don't even know who Captain Falcon is. I'm not talking about Captain Falcon.
I'm talking about Kirby.
Oh, Kirby. I was doing
an impression of Kirby after having swallowed Captain Falcon and then the most adorable Falcon Punch.
That makes more sense. There we go. Thank you for clarifying.
Thank you for sitting through my murder wall of facts.
It was good. We needed it. The levels on the N64 were actually pretty good looking. I'm not going to lie. Going back, it was actually very good. The characters themselves are pretty blocky, but generally on the up and up for the time. And of course, the levels were unique to a particular character, right? So I would say my favorite of the levels that I saw was definitely Yoshi's Island, because I did play the ever-living shit out of Yoshi's Island growing up. That was probably the only one I didn't play apartment on. I actually played the game. So that's one. But the other stages are as follows. So you've got Peach's Castle, Congo Jungle, Hyrule Castle, Planet Zeebies, Mushroom Kingdom, of course, Yoshi's Island, Dreamland, Sector Z, and Saffron City.
I was gonna say, the Pokemon level is just always the best level, no matter.
It is. Absolutely. And then, of course, there were a few levels you could only play on if you were in the one player game mode, which is Battlefield, Metacrystal, Final Destination, Race to the Finish, Board the Platforms, and Break the Targets. Race to the Finish!
Go ahead. I will say, yeah, the fight against the giant hand every time was just like...
Nope.
I don't know why the giant hand was the bad guy.
Why not? Was it cut off your hand to spite your face, or I don't know what the line is. Shit.
Crushed it.
Stop talking. Nailed it. Just three-pointer from
downtown.
Shit. I hope everyone listening to this realizes how much of a moron I am. They do. They already know.
Everybody listening to this is like, what the fuck is happening? Like, these guys are just saying so many words and they don't mean anything.
Listen, here's what's happening. Lisa thought she knew a video game. She did not know the video game. Where? And she is bluffing her way through this court case. So the version of the Smash Brothers that came out after the original launch launched off like full-blown tournaments, right? Like e-game, e-sports, tournaments. Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. I actually do like watching that shit. And Smash Brothers, when you find someone who's a really good player and can play like most characters, it's really enjoyable to watch them just kick everybody's ass.
Yeah. I like to watch people play who don't play as Link. Because Link is my least favorite character, because whoever plays Link just always beats me. And I don't know. Like, they're usually just very good at the game if they're playing as Link.
If someone's playing as Kirby, I hate them. So, my husband. And so the original N64 game sold 5 million copies worldwide. No big deal. And then just shy of 3 million copies in the US. So from what I could read, the only criticism of the game was that it was kind of boring if you were in single player mode, as in like the content just wasn't wasn't as much. And that makes sense. But that's a good incentive to get out, you loser, and go get some friends. Go to the park.
Yeah, I will say, because the story mode's not exactly like... The only reason you do the story mode for the most part is to unlock characters, at least from my experience, was just to unlock these characters. Otherwise, I'm just like, I bring my friends or I quit.
Yes, or like I'm just going to go back to playing Bomberman 64. Sure. So, but that's, I don't know, honestly, think about how many world wars could have been solved had we just gone with
Smash Brother tournaments.
Like, things could have been so good. Things could have been like, no, it's winner takes all. You have 3 minutes to decide if your country gets to remain a country. It's like, awesome. Let's do this. Winner takes all. Let's do this. Like, I don't know. I think that's why if I were a president, I would be like, it is Smash Brothers for everything.
That'd be such a bummer, though, like, because you just play against, like, some really super weak country, and then they just beat you, and you're like, well, they own us now. That's weird.
Awesome. Cool. The worst 3 minutes of my life.
Wow.
I love it. But look, that's Smash Brothers. I wish I could have said I played the N64 one. I did not. Again, not very many friends in the 90s, and that's cool. But that's that. Do you have any parting remarks?
No, absolutely, I do. So yeah, I remember the first time I played this was just because, like, I don't know, we just were at somebody else's house. I can't even remember where it was, but like they were sitting down there playing the game, and everybody was like super into it, and they said, "Oh, it's like a fighting game," and I was like, fighting games are dumb. They're like, no, trust me. Like, I hate fighting games too, but this is so good. And then I played it like 3 times and I was like, holy shit, I love this game.
Yeah.
Like the items and stuff, like you can customize what items appear in the thing. Like, you know, all Pokeballs, like get rid of home run bats because fuck home run bats.
They're so good though.
They are good. That's why you get rid of them, because it's just super annoying. I will say... it was Super Smash Brothers Melee, because, like I said, this game was out for 2 years before another Super Smash Brothers was released.
Okay.
Super Smash Brothers Melee, then, was from 2001 to 2008, so that was 7 years. So, obviously, people were playing that game a lot longer than the other one. But I remember at a friend's house, like, is early on when it started, because it was like an old one of their older my friend's older brothers, who had a lot of friends that would come over too, and then I would come over too. Is we literally had a board, like sheets of paper on the wall in his room, that would always have like the best player, like the winner or whatever, and they'd have you like ranked and stuff, and then they would have who was the best based on what character they played, like best Yoshi, best. So I was always like trying to become best Jigglypuff. Like, because it's so hard. I'm like, it's hard because these are like, I'm just not very good at video games for the most part. But yeah, so like these games, I mean, like I said, just thinking back on that, it just makes me think like, man, I just wish we could get people together to play these games more like we used to. But
there's still time.
Yeah, there's still time.
I guess not right. Well, not right now. I keep forgetting. Pandemic.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
Wah. That's yeah, fun.
That's my parting remarks. Love the game. Like I said, I like this was a hard one for me because I'm like, I only think I wanted to do Mario Kart 64 because I can't really speak as much to the original Super Smash Bros. Because I just didn't play it nearly as much as Melee. Whereas mm-hmm. Mario Kart 64, fuck yes, I played that forever.
Yeah.
So.
There it is.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. So,
that's our show, guys.
Oh, I have to we say did. Things now, huh?
I guess. Got to wrap up the show somehow.
All right, gang. Thank you again for sticking around. And again, I will quickly remind you, please stick around till the end of the show to listen to every Mario Kart 64 voice or sound that the characters made in the game. It is just funny hearing them all back to back. So if you care enough to listen, it's good stuff. Where to find us? If you want to vote for this poll, why don't you check us out on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. That's right. Both. Maybe you just want to vote twice. Hell, maybe you want to vote three times. You can vote, hop on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter and vote every single place and just get
you,
like...
You do you, fam.
Yeah. Speaking of Instagram, we are at 90s.court because reasons. So...
Yes, for reasons.
So it's not 90s Court.
It doesn't matter.
Patreon.com/90sCourt. Again, if you want to hop in and get some of our newly and oldly reduced words released bonus episodes on there. And as always, please hop on Apple Podcasts and leave us a nice 5-star rating and review. We do, like, every time one of those pops up and I see the numbers change, I'm like, holy shit, and I go to read the review like instantly. So would love that as well. So anyways, Lisa, any parting remarks before we depart?
I have nothing left to say. I want to hear these sounds, so I want to hear them. I'm ready. My body's ready.
All right. Well, hey, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in to episode 54. We'll be back next week with a new episode. And as always, stay radical.
Bye.
Here I go! I'm gonna win.